like us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. In Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn there, we have a portion of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, or teaching, Jesus talks about God's care. In verses 26 through 29, talks about God's care for the birds and the lilies of the field. In verses 30 through 33, he spoke of God's care for those who seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. What he's talking about is God's providence. God providentially cares for his creation daily. It demonstrates a love for his creatures and his creation. It demonstrates his care and concern for all that he's created. And not always in a miraculous way is his providence evident. God's providence also can be misunderstood at times. I want to take a look at God's providence this morning. That's the other side of the coin. We talked about our living closer to God this morning and having that closer walk with our God. And on the other side of that coin, he often daily it provides for us in our life when sometimes we're not noticeable or conscious of it. At other times, we may give him credit for doing something that he really didn't do, or might blame him for something that he didn't do because we wanted him to. So let's take a look at God's providence. The word providence in Scripture is actually only seen in two different lights. One, to provide, from the Latin word providere, which means to foresee, to plan forward. The Greek word pronoia means to have forethought, think before something happens or before the time. The concept is just simply that God cares for his creation through natural means. He's given us the wheat of the field through natural means. There's nothing miraculous about how that wheat grows. You plant a seed, it grows. It's given that. God ordained that. He created it that way. But by doing so, he provides for us on a continual basis that nutrition and nourishment that we need. Those things imply a divine plan, a purpose, and a way to make that end result take place. If the plan is ABC, God has a way to make ABC come to fruition in his providential care of us. If you will, turn over to Psalm 104. The description of providence might take on two directions. One would be just a general providence, a generality of God's care for his creation. And then there's a special providence that we'll talk about in a minute that has to do with those who seek first the kingdom. In Psalm 104, down about, verse 10, these next few verses speak of God's providential care for his creation in general. Verse 10 of Psalm 104, he sends the springs into valleys, the water springs. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. You see how that is just a general taking care of his creation through the means he set in motion. Nothing miraculous. It rains, it snows, water runs, gives nourishment to the earth, and causes things to grow for our livelihood. You see that as God's providence, his providential care. Sometimes we just take that for granted, don't we? The things happen just because they're supposed to. But that's God's providence. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 tells us that he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, makes the rains to fall on the just and the unjust. Again, God's general providential care encompasses all, good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, there's a special providence. International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this: it's a particular providence which he exercises over and in behalf of the good, or those who align their wills to be in harmony with his divine will. In other words, those who are seeking to walk closer to God in their Christian life, those who are after God's own heart, those who are following Christ and doing their best to walk in the light, as it were. And there's a special providential care that God exercises over his people. He always has. In Romans 8 and verse 28 brings that perfectly into mind. Romans 8, remember, recall what Romans 8, 28 says? Some of you probably do. Well, let's read it from the book. That way we don't make any mistakes. Starts out, "For we know." Paul said, there wasn't any doubt about it. We know. "For we know that all things work together for good." There's no period there. Doesn't mean that it just works together for good all the time or for everybody. He says that all things work together for good to those who love God. Specific group of people. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If you've been called according to God's purpose, you've been called in a manner that was in line with his will, in a manner that was in agreement with, in harmony with, his divine pleasure for those who would seek after him. If not, then all things don't work together for good for you. We see that? That's a special providential care that God exercises over those who seek to align their will with his. Now, some things to keep in mind regarding that. The ultimate end of all this is for man's good. We can understand that. But not materially speaking, spiritually speaking, all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose, and they work spiritually good. Point in fact. All things may not work together for your physical betterment. If you work a job where you're inhaling chemicals or where you're inhaling asbestos, or we know that some things that we do in this life can cause harmful effects on our body, it's not that God willed that to take place. And that's not very good for your body. So all those things in the area that you worked in, if that's the case, didn't work together for your good physically. Well, that's not what Paul said. That's not what he meant. It's a spiritual thought, spiritual idea. Now, since I said that, God may allow hardships, financial hardships. He may allow illness, other physical maladies to occur if, in fact, he deems it suitable for your betterment. What does that mean? Let's say that I have an attitude that I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Can do no wrong. Everything about me is good. Don't need fixing. I'm just all that in a bag of chips. God may, in his providential concern and care for me, allow me to suffer in my life some things that would bring me down a notch, because that would be better for me with my spiritual attitude. Or we're not supposed to be humble as Christian folks. We're supposed to be humble and walk humbly before our God, not walk with the attitude of being 10 foot tall and bulletproof. So God may allow something to take place to fix that attitude and make that correction, because it'd be necessary for my spiritual well-being. In that case, all those things would work together for the good of my spiritual betterment. See that? Now, so we can conclude that God's ultimate goal in his providential care of mankind, all encompassed, all things working together for good, is for man's spiritual best interest. Okay? I don't mean to leave you ladies out. Men's and women's. Men's and women's. Man in general. Mankind. Now, not all things are also encompassed in that saying. When Paul says all things work together for good, is it possible that someone could cause something to happen in your life that God didn't intend to happen in your life? It's possible. There are drunk drivers, and they cause havoc in people's lives. God probably wouldn't intend for an infant or someone to be killed in that manner. He can use it for the good for those who love him, but he would never cause that purposefully. Some things may result as Satan's activity. Remember Job? Job was just minding his own business one day, and within a 24-hour period, lost everything he had. Why? Family, stock, camels, everything. Satan's activity. God had given Satan permission to prove a point. It wasn't to be mean to Job. It was to prove that Job would not sin against God, and Satan thought he would. So sometimes it's Satan's activity in our lives. Satan still working in our lives? Sure. His influence is in this creation. It's in this world. Other things, consequences of men's actions, and so forth. So all things working together. Can God take a bad situation and turn it for the good? Yes, absolutely, in his providential care. But not always would he will the bad situation to take place. So, secondly, God's providence does not mean that you and I don't have to do anything. We read this morning about being doers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. God's providential care will take care of us, absolutely. But who did Paul say that worked for? To those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. If you love God, we're going to be doers about doing the word, yes? If we're called according to his purpose, we'd be diligent studiers, we'd be evangelistic, we'd be all those things we talked about this morning. So how do we know what's providential care and what's not? How do we know if it's God's will to take place in our life, that something occurs or an event takes place or something happens with our health? How do we know that's God's providential care or some other influence in our life? $64,000 question. Let's take a look at some things. There should be a use of caution when we talk about what's providential care and what's not. In general, we're quick to jump at a conclusion sometimes. If something good happens to somebody, we just figure those folks are righteous folks and something good happened for them. If something bad happened to somebody, kind of like Job's three friends, we assume that they're bad people in a way, or they're negative people, or they're evil people, and something bad happened to them because that's what God wanted. Is that always the case? No, not necessarily. The Bible even tells us that there are some exceptions. Let's look at Psalm 73. Again, a perfect example in God's word that shows us that that's not always the case. Psalm 73, just a portion of that psalm at beginning at verse 3. Psalm 73, verse 3. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Wicked people prosper. David saw that, or Asaph is the one that wrote this psalm. Asaph saw that. Verse 4, for there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. You know, it got to a point where Asaph said, you know, all these good things keep happening to these people that are wicked people. Their actions and their behavior shows they're to be wicked people. But they keep having good stuff. They gain interest, and they gain this, and they gain the fat of the land, and they're always in good spirits or in good stead. Well, bad things don't always happen to good people. Good things don't always happen to good people. Sometimes good things in general. He makes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. So we're not really sure if an evil person gaining wealth is God's providential care or Satan's work, happenstance, any of the above. The best we can do, the absolute best we can do, is to follow Mordecai's attitude. Remember Mordecai? Mordecai was Esther's uncle. Esther had come into the kingdom of the king. You recall what Mordecai said? I believe the words are contained in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. Perhaps you have come to the kingdom at such a time as this. You recall that? Mordecai wasn't sure if Esther had been sent by God to the king and to the kingdom for a particular purpose at that time. As it turned out, she was going to be able to help the Jewish people abundantly by going on their behalf to the king. And Mordecai just simply had the attitude, well, maybe he sent you here on purpose for this reason. But Mordecai just didn't leave that alone. He didn't presume that such was the actual case. He went about, I think, hoping that it was, in line of the possibility that it could be. But he also had Esther follow through and do what needed to be done by going to the king, even though it was a dangerous thing to do. So he remained open to the possibility that it might be God's will, but also that God's will might be different than what was about to take place. We can only be certain of things in one way. When we assume God's providence is at work in our lives, the only way to measure that is by God's revealed will. I can know that God wants me to do what's in here. He wants me to benefit from what's in here. He wants me to live my life according to what's in here. Those things that work in my life or in our lives according to his providence will always be in line with and in harmony with what's in his revealed will. Won't ever be contrary to that. So if it's in line with his revealed will, it could be his providence at work. You'll never be 100% sure until over yonder, farther along, as the song said. In James chapter 4, another, for instance, it points to this particular idea. In James chapter 4 at verse 13, Paul in this context talking about not boasting about tomorrow because we're not really sure of what God's will be for us tomorrow. He says, come now you who say today or tomorrow we'll go in such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even like a vapor that for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. And the best we can do in our lives is if the Lord wills. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'll see you guys next Sunday, Lord willing. Or I'll do this, Lord willing. That's a good attitude. If we're sincere about that, let's just not that be something that we just say because it's something to say. If the Lord wills, we will see each other next Lord's Day. If the Lord wills, there will be another day tomorrow. And if the Lord doesn't will, we need to leave that happenstance of his not willing as an open possibility. What if the Lord doesn't will that there be a Monday tomorrow? Sun doesn't come up tomorrow. Is that a possibility? Sure, we'd be foolish to say it's not a possibility. Whatever the Lord wills will take place. And the best we can do is live our lives in accordance with his revealed will, because we don't know it. If it's not revealed, we don't know it. If tomorrow doesn't come, we won't know that until it doesn't happen, until the Lord returns. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul tells us to give thanks in all things. In everything, give thanks. While we're pondering God's providence and his will in our lives, whatever comes down the pike, whatever takes place, whatever events and circumstances and people come in and out of our lives, we're to be thankful. Because if it's something good, we can be thankful for the blessing. If it's something not so good, illness, death, whatever it may be, other than something we would deem as good, God might see it as good in his providential will that helps us to grow. So we ought to be thankful for even the bad things in our lives, for the opportunity to progress, to grow, to learn. Those times are not easy when things like that happen to us, and we've all experienced family deaths, we've all experienced bad things, we've all experienced negativity in our lives, and it's hard to be thankful for some of those things, but Paul says be thankful in everything, in all things give thanks. It might be God's providential concern for you that those things take place. It might not be. And not being 100% sure of if it is or it isn't, the best thing we can do is trust God, give thanks in all things, and understand that His will be done, and all things will work together for the good if we're those who love the Lord and if we're those who have been called according to His purpose and stay called according to His purpose. One more passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe this is a good finishing touch for the lesson this morning. At verse 10 in chapter 3, it's a quote from Psalm 34. It says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Let us be about the first part of that psalm. Let us not be about the last thought of that psalm, of being those who do evil. God will take care of us. God will take care of you is the words of the song we sing a lot. And he will. Whether it's providential, whether it's not, all things work good or work for the good in the light of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. What Shall It Be is the name of the song that's been chosen tonight for an invitation and encouragement song. And sometimes we don't know what shall it be when it's God's providential care. But we do know what shall it be when it comes to our relationship with God, because we have that choice. We have the opportunity to know how it will be. The song tonight, What Shall It Be, is from this point forward, what shall your relationship be with the Lord? What shall your heart be with the Lord? What shall your attitude be with the Lord? And if there's anywhere in those thoughts that you need some assistance or encouragement or prayers or study, whatever it may be in your own particular life, then make that known to us while we stand together and while we sing.